Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to radio station EXP. Tonight we are featuring an interview with a very peculiar-looking gentleman who goes by the name of Mr. Paul Caruso on the dodgy subject of are there or are there not flying saucers, or UFOs. Please, Mr. Caruso, could you give us your regarded opinion on this nonsense about spaceships and even space people?
Thank you. As you all know, you just can't believe everything you see and hear, can you? Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
But I don't believe it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Radio Freeman. I'd like to talk with you today about mind pattern programming. Now, just consider the astronomical odds of what happened to me last month. Now, here I find myself being called by Power of Prophecy, or Tex Mars's evangelical group. They wanted me to come and help him edit some film. And being the helpful sort that I am, I said, absolutely, I'll jump on that. So I get to Tex Mars's place, and the video that they asked me to help with happens to be a video on the monuments of the Illuminati. It is on a film that Tex Mars had made back in 1996, I believe it was, and he was revamping into a DVD, and he wanted to cut some things out and put in some new pictures and whatnot, and they knew that I had some editing skills and would come cheap, so they called upon me, which I'm happy to do. I certainly don't work for money. So, as I sit down and start editing this film, I find out that he's working on the exact same project that I'm working on, only from a Christian perspective. So as I'm going through the video, and he wants to insert new photographs of these structures, which were the pyramid in Memphis, or the temple to Athena, the Parthenon in Nashville, and I realize, well, hey, you know, I just happen to have all these pictures on me because I'm working on the same production, only from the Freeman perspective. Well, the odds of that were just astronomical, and so I got to insert all of my images into Tex's new film, a revamp of his old film, and got paid for the work. Now, this pay was just perfectly timed to allow me to have some money to make it to Portland for the ESO zone. So consider that a Christian evangelist gave me the money to go meet up with the high priest of the Church of Satan. The odds of that. Now, when I left for ESO zone, I did not have any money. Actually, my bank account was -$6. But that's never stopped me, and that's part of my mind pattern programming, is that I don't need money to go and do what I need to do, or what I wish to do, or, you know, what the universe needs of me. So even when I went on my trip to Florida, I didn't have enough money to come back. I had no idea how I'd get back, but these sort of things don't enter my mind programming because, well, I'm Freeman. So I know I can make it. I've traveled this country far and wide without a nickel to my name. I've made it all the way across the country and still had the 38 cents in my pocket that I left with, you know. So I don't worry about such things, because my programming says it's okay. So I left out for Portland, and I got my check from Tex Mars, but of course it wasn't going to be in my bank account until after I'd reached Portland. But I had some friends coming along, they were helping with the gas, and everything worked out just perfect. So I, of course, you now are fairly familiar with my extraterrestrial contact. Well, I'm not so certain it was extraterrestrial in its origins, maybe way back in the day, but, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about the story of that video clip from ESOBytes. Because here we were, traveling up through Utah, heading to Portland, and the highway all of a sudden diverted us over into Ogden, Utah. Now, later I met a man from Ogden, and he says that this is where all of our IRS reports go, or all of our tax files end up. I thought that intriguing, but as we were diverted off of the highway into Ogden, I considered the name Ogden, which Og is the land of the giants in the Bible. And, of course, the den, Ogden, would be the den of the giants, or the den of the people of Og. And we pull into Ogden, and I happen to notice the golden trumpeter upon this large white spire, which, of course, I immediately identified as the Mormons. So the driver was like, well, let's go take a look. And so we did, and we circled the Mormon temple, and I got some video of that. It was nighttime. I'd say it was about getting around 2 a.m. our time, maybe a little bit later. That's Texas time. I'm not sure what it was in Utah. I guess 1 a.m. So we We circle Ogden, and the detour now, it takes us on five lefts. Now, I don't know how this works to get you back to the highway, but we just continually kept taking lefts on the detour signs and eventually ended up back on Highway 84, as if we had spiraled through Ogden. Now, here are three guys traveling down Highway 84, looking at the mountains, and the two in the front, they had not really seen the galaxy from this perspective. When you get out there in the middle of nothing, that arm of the spiral of the Milky Way galaxy is very vibrant and just really bright. And I've had some interesting experiences just looking at it. You know, if you just lay there and stare at that vast arm of the galaxy, you could start to feel a little vertigo, or even like you might slip off the planet. Or at least this happens to me when I stare into such. So we're checking out the stars, and Pallades was very bright over the mountains. And now all of us in this car had already made the notion that we were going to see a UFO of some sort. So here's three guys leaving on a trip to go out to meet some magical people. We had no idea what was going to go down at ESO Zone. And we're heading up the highway in Utah from a Mormon temple, and we're making jokes about Moroni and Moroni's craft. Well, next thing I know, I'm looking off to the left, and I see what looks like a large planet in the distance. Now, this was like Venus, only maybe five times as large. It looked like a very large planet. So I pointed it out to the two in front. And we all watched as this planet-looking thing started to get bigger and bigger. And as it came closer and closer to us, we could start to see what looked like turquoise orbs sitting on the sides of the orange orb, which was initially the planet that we had seen. So now it looked like a line of orbs coming our way, with the central one being red, or reddish-orange, and the four or five leading out from that on either side of it being somewhat turquoise, and none of them projecting forward, but all of them just radiating like orbs of light. Now, so of course, I now think to grab the camera, and I get it up there and I start filming, and of course the rest is history. As you know, I did not open the camera lens. Now, I swear to you, I have practiced this maneuver so many times to make sure that if something of this type happened, where it was such a spontaneous filming, that I would flip that switch and open the lens cover. Now, you might think I would have noticed, but really, that camera doesn't do so well at night, and I don't know whether I would have gotten that thing on film anyway, but within the viewfinder, you can't tell the difference if it's open or shut at nighttime. The only reason I knew that I hadn't opened it was when I reviewed the film and saw that there was no video of the interior of the car. Now, consider that as this thing started to fly over, and I'm filming it, I'm hanging outside of the car doing 70, and it's going directly over our car. Now, once again, what are the odds? Here are a bunch of guys expecting to see a UFO, discussing it even, and then there's one coming our way. And then out of all the cars on that highway, which, you know, there weren't that many at 3 in the morning, but there were some, our car was the one that it flew directly over. Now, this thing was pretty close to us. It wasn't that far off out into the space. It was pretty low down. And it was moving at, well, I can't say what speed, but it wasn't that fast. And it made no sound whatsoever. As it got closer and started to pass over the car, I could see the outline shape of this boomerang. And that's what it looked like, was a boomerang. And what I imagined that these orbs were, the lights that were running along the arms of it. And now as it passed over, we could see that there wasn't just one central orange light, but four in the center of the V. So four lights making somewhat of a diamond shape in the center of the V, and then 4 to 5 orbs on either side going out from the arms, from the wings. I could see the outline of the V shape that as it flew over. And so it flew directly over the car, and I had to run through the car to the other window. And that's where you hear me exclaim my expletive. And that was another thing that I swore I would never do, was cuss when I was filming a flying saucer, because you always see these video clips of people going, well, look at that beep thing, it's amazing, beep thing, you know. And I didn't want to have to beep my stuff out, but as it turned out, I couldn't keep my exclamations to myself. And I just couldn't believe what was going on, and that I had two eyewitnesses in the front seat watching this the whole time as well. I'm kind of surprised that the driver did not pull over. I didn't think about it. You know, I didn't even think to open my shutter. Well, you know, honestly, I did think about that shutter, and because it is programmed into my head, and I could have sworn I double-checked that it was open. Kick myself in the butt. Now, sometimes I think of it metaphysically, and I kind of laugh about it, because, you know what, I kind of want to remain somewhat unbelievable. I don't mind being on the edge of believability, because this keeps where your imagination has to open. You have to suspend disbelief. So now you can go watch my video of Esobites and kind of chuckle about the fact that I didn't open the video. Anyway, so this thing flew directly over the car. I ran through the car screaming at everyone, are you seeing this, you know? And opened the other window and filmed it as it went over the mountaintop heading towards the Pleiades. Not that it was going into space. We personally felt like what we had witnessed was perhaps one of the high military craft, but now I personally feel that they were transporting some one of the gods from one base to another. Yeah. That was the feeling, as if it was Darth Vader's shuttle going overhead and heading off into the distance to some other base. Could it have been Anu? Could the Planet X, Nibiru, whatever, have gotten close enough and now these beings are with us? One of my guests that I'm going to have on soon, Stuart Swerdlow, we're going to discuss a lot of these things. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. Because he believes that they arrived in 2003, so that's very possible. And I also consider what Barry Shamish had been talking about when he came on my show and talked about the giants showing up in Israel for the Oslo court. And I still haven't gotten his book on that yet. Very interesting with the Barry Shamish thing was that these giants that came to Israel were abducting women that were, I believe, 39 years old. Four women that vanished, all of which were 39 years old, and then I believe they were returned and were pregnant. I'll have to go double check that. Check out the Barry Shamish show that I did, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I have to go review that. I found that interesting because it correlated with the death of Anna Nicole, and her birth or her death year was also the same. Anyway. So here we are, you know, here I am working for Tex Mars on these monuments, which I've been out filming and I've been ceaselessly editing since then. And then now we've got this giant flying V going over our car, and we're all astounded, and you can watch our reactions on the film as well, because at that point I realized that the shutter was closed and opened it and started filming our reactions to the thing. Then we get out to Oregon, out to Portland for the ESO zone, and I think I was there barely a half an hour before I had to rush off to the TV studio and meet up with Alex Ansari and do the Outside the Box show, which I think went really well, although a couple of my thought streams got diverted, and I always feel like, I should have said this or I should have said that, but I think the show went very well, and I'm very happy with it. And of course I talked about the flying boomerang. Next thing I know, here I am getting up on stage, I didn't know that I was, I think the first presenter in the ESOZone presentation. And, of course, I'm giving a lecture on these geomantic earth magic devices. And in my talk, which you can now see on MySpace/FreemanTV, or check out AlterTube, which is a very good video source, something to step aside from the whole Google YouTube thing. Go to AlterTube. And my video is up there of this lecture, which is becoming a new film. So I'm giving my talk, and I'm discussing, of course, the device that William Henry talked with me about out in front of the Nashville Capitol. I did get into HAARP and some other of the geomantic devices, and just the ideas of masonry being used as frequency modulation. And as I get to the halfway point, I've got a little video clip that I play, which I call Got Trauma, which is all about the trauma that was being projected into us to alter our mind programming and accept this this craziness as a valid reality. So, of course, this includes the teen sport killings of the homeless, the Anna Nicole story, the Britney story, the Virginia Tech story, all of these programs that were being placed into our minds so that our collective mind programming will instill the fear and the chaoticness or the chaos of all of this. Not to mention America's top models putting out spreads of murdered models and all those things. And they're in my new Anna Nicole video, which I haven't put on Google yet. So I go to play this little 11-minute video clip, and as I'm running out of the off stage to go just take a breath and relax before the second half of my speech, as I'm running out, I see Rex Church, who is one of the priests of the Church of Satan. Now, he's in my video presentation, and none of us had any idea that he was going to be there. But I'm looking at him as I'm running by, as I'm heading out the bar where this presentation was being given, and I see him standing there, and I'm thinking to myself, is that the guy from my video? And I didn't give it any more thought because I knew I only had 10 minutes to just kind of go out there and just stand there for a sec. And I come back in, I finish up my lecture, and then Rex Church comes to me and says, well, you know, I want to tell you that you gave this the best presentation, and thank you very much for promoting me. I will be discussing those very topics that you showed me talking about in your video presentation, which was aesthetic terrorism and the use of propaganda. Now, this guy is an ex-Psy warfare agent or operative for the military, so he's very familiar with this. And of course, then he got into a whole discussion of the same thing, the use of masonry for this psychological warfare, and also the use of phi ratio and whatnot into to create the frequency modulation desired by the Masons. And so here's a guy, you know, I confirm his work, he confirms my work, and I'm just astounded by it all. So once again, what are the odds? Then Paul Laffoley gets up on the next day, and he starts talking, and well, lo and behold, he is discussing the very same topics, because, well, these are the type of things that he creates, are these geomantic machines. Now, Paul Laffoley is a utopist. He is not seeking to create something to open portals for the old ones to enter, but to design things to make human life just amazing. He has designed a house that grows on its own, a genetically modified ginkgo biloba plant that grows into a home, yeah, you know, with pine trees, and they interlace and become a central one plant to become a home. Very amazing stuff. And he gets into time machines and whatnot. And in the process of our conversation, it turns out that he was also attempted to be hired for building a geomantic device in Nashville. Now, this couldn't have been the same one that I was talking about, because Paul Affley said it was just 2 years ago that he was invited to build a geomantic device, and he didn't like the person that that had called him, and he found that he had no sense of humor, and Paul just didn't want to work with somebody that had no sense of humor. And you can see this whole interview, along with his description of how Rael stole that necklace off of Paul's neck, and also where Elvis is actually buried in a cryogenic chamber. That's all on my film that's now titled An Afternoon with Paul Affley. Well, okay, once again, what are the odds? And did my mind pattern programming create this scenario? Now, to be quite honest, I wasn't going to go to ESOZone. I didn't have any money, and I just didn't feel like it was going to be a big enough event for me to make this 40-hour drive and to spend all that money. But it ended up that I didn't spend really any money, and, well, it was well worth it. I will go again. This was a lot of fun and very informative and just amazing. And there's just a plethora of video for you to go and see, not to mention audio and images. So the ESOZone was well documented. And everything was really good. I would say that everything there was very informative, if you're trying to understand the magical aspects of things, which is what I am trying to understand, because there's more to this picture. And this mind pattern programming is a large portion of this, because as this story should exemplify, my very pattern of thinking manifested out into the real world to the point of unbelievability. I mean, to the point of flying V's flying over my car, High Priest of Satan telling me about the Ragnarok devices. And just, you know, who does this happen to but me, right? And all of my stories are like this. And so if you... I find that we are programmed, right? From the moment that we are born, our parents start instilling belief systems. We're indoctrinated into the concepts of Christmas and Halloween and Easter. And, you know, of course, none of the people involved in these things know the origins of these things. And then later we're instilled into Americanism and patriotism and capitalism, and any other ismology you can think of is all programmed into us through the indoctrination system we call education. And so this mind pattern programming gets set up, and then we manufacture reality through it. And so now I watch this step in our way all the time, and it's a very difficult thing to escape. What it requires is internal working, and nothing external is really going to alter your internal programming. It's all up to you. So once you begin to understand that you manifest reality before you, then you must start to recognize your own victim programming. Now, I believe all of us have a bit of victim programming, even from past lives or, you know, what's happened to us now, you know, being victimized at school. I myself was a victim in school, and it did somewhat develop into a subservient nature for me. Or the fact that I have lived in, just so many couches, you know. I'm a couch surfer. I've lived in many, many people's homes, and have never really had a place of my own. So this is programmed into me as well, so that even now when I do have my own home, I still find myself feeling subservient to others around me, as if I'm an interloper in their space. And so this is the mind programming that I'm having to work through. to bring out what I call now the emperor within me, to make me feel like I have my sense of placement. So let's take this to one other example of mind pattern programming. Let's say now we're not discussing some person such as me or you, those of us that are just getting by in life and are constantly rocked by incidents that come our way. Let's consider the mind pattern programming of the Illuminati, or these people that seem to have control of everything. Now, these people seem to have no problem generating all the best things for themselves. But what can you expect from such a group that believes they deserve it? And that really is the key, is it not? So, this Illuminati group, these supreme bankers, the rich, the New World Order people, they all absolutely believe that they deserve these things. They deserve that they believe they deserve to rule us, and so therefore they do. They don't have a victim mentality. Their mind pattern tells them they're invincible. They have no sense of inferiority. They don't have self-worth issues. They don't even have guilt. And as far as they're concerned, they are doing exactly the right thing. And they know they have time to do all of these things. So they're not living in this this perpetual running on a treadmill sort of scenario. They are accomplishing their goals. So we could learn a lot from these Illuminati as far as mind pattern programming goes. I mean, they know they have the power to influence society. They know that they have this winner's mentality, that they are able to, that, well, you see how they don't tend to lose. You know, what they put their mind towards, they get. We, as the common folk, we feel inferior to them. We feel jealous. We idolize people like Paris Hilton, right? And for what? You know, what is Paris Hilton's value to life? Not much. But she gets to, she's, you know, American royalty, so she gets to do what she wishes, and that's what we all want, is it not? Not to be like Paris, but to get to do what we want. Well, it seems that if you were able to program this into your mind pattern, then you will get what you want. And for me, I have programmed quite a bit of that into my programming. I have always believed that I could do what I want when I want, and it has always worked out for me. And this was the type of thing that I have been trying to pass on to those that are listening. We call it synchronicity, but really it has to do with the pattern programming. I believe that I am free, and therefore I am. And this can work in many different levels. Now, say I was one that thought that they were coming to get me, and I should hide, and I should be in fear, and that all these things that I'm bringing to the surface and talking about should make me feel paranoid and hide in a cage. You know, a lot of people at Y2K, when I would talk about that scenario back in Y2K, thought that they would find me in a bunker that at the stroke of midnight. But I was sitting on my computer playing my electric guitar while watching the events unfold and videotaping them so that I could use them again later. Of course, I didn't know that I would have a TV show at that time. I was just recording it for my own posterity. I'm sure glad I did, because now I can show you what I'm discussing and what I'm talking about and how these Illuminati work. There is much more going on planet Earth than just simple third-dimensional interactions. And we ourselves need to start repatterning our mind program in order to step out from a victim mentality. And you must recognize that you chose these experiences and that you wanted to be here. Now, this is so critical of releasing yourself from the victim mentality. If some horrible atrocity has happened to you, you asked for it. And that's a difficult one to accept. But even if you... Well, you have to accept it. You have to accept this to release yourself from the victim mentality. That life is not happening to you. You are experiencing life. And the more and more that you recognize that you're an eternal being and that it was this is simply a roller coaster ride, but not just a ride because you want to accomplish goals. You came here for a reason. And the more and more you recognize this, the more and more that you understand that this is just a blip in your existence and that you have very short time to accomplish your goals, be they just personal goals of internal mind pattern programming, or be they external goals where you are really trying to make a difference in the world. Now, what I find from most humans is that they do want to make a difference in the world. They do want to leave their mark on society. And this is what the nature of humanity really is. Most of us do want to, in some way, make a change on planet Earth. But before you can make any manifest experience out into the major collective unconscious mind pattern, you must first alter your own. So everything that needs to be accomplished right now is mostly internal. All of the strife and the battle that's going on externally is really a facade. It really doesn't matter. It's going to continue. It's going to go on. And until the collective mind pattern changes, none of the external activities are going to change. So this is really all an internal battle. And the first thing to do is release yourself of this victim mentality. We all have it. We all believe we have to go to work. Oh, I have to go to work. And many people come home and they're grumpy and, I worked hard today and, I feel good about it. And you feel good about having a shitty life. I've seen this in a number of people. I've been dealing with it at home as well, which is really kind of a strange place for me to be. Just if I could share a little bit of my home life with you. As I come home and I do have a victim mentality roommate who I'm helping in the astral planes and not frontally, but he is helping me to learn to be more frontal because I am a bit aloof and don't really want to stick my hand in the blender, as it were. And so I don't really say to him what I feel, and I thank him for bringing me to discussing the things that need to be discussed with him without fear. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and you know, this isn't right. I personally should state exactly how I feel. And personally, when I see someone come home all grumpy and, you know, I don't know whether they're asking me to feel sorry for them or proud of them. And this is the victim mentality that I'm seeing. And then I myself, being somewhat subservient, not feeling my place to stand up and state, hey, you know, you'd be a whole lot happier if you just thought happier and you didn't do everything out of guilt. So many of us will do actions out of guilt. You know, I must do this. And that's just not the case. Liberation comes from inside, not outside. And no matter how hard you work, no matter how many hours you put into getting your future ready, it's really just not going to matter. And it really doesn't. And you really cannot work your way to the top. You don't think anybody in the Illuminati's working their way to the top, do you? You don't think that these heads of the CEOs of all these corporations are working their way to the top, do you? No, no, that's a farce. That's another mind pattern programming to keep you working. They just go give the right handshake, give a little Tubal-Cain code word, and they're in up on the top. I mean, you know, this is quite obvious as you start to research the fact that all the leaders of corporations are Freemason. But now the Freemasons, this ritual that they go through is to instill a new mind pattern programming. And really that's what ritual is about, and that is what magic is about. To chain the consciousness to create at will. To be able to alter your consciousness at will. That's the definition of magic. So this is one of the high Illuminati arts, is to be able to instill pattern programming into the group mind. And once you start to understand this methodology, that's when you start to understand why 911, why Waco, why the Virginia Tech shootings, why they showed the videotape of Anna Nicole in the courtroom when it was inadmissible evidence. The only two video clips that they showed in the Anna Nicole court case, one showing that she was an abused child, and the second showing her as a mind control slave in clown makeup that happens to be the flag of Iran. Why would they show these two films when they're inadmissible evidence and they have no purpose in deciding where Anna Nicole's body was to be laid? And if I can just sidetrack real quick on that thought, I want to speak up for poor Brittany. She has been getting barraged lately, and I want to say, go girl, go. You know, if you start to recognize what's going on in this poor girl's life, that she is actually a tool of the Illuminati, and she now knows it, then her acts at the MTV Awards will make a little more sense as to why she is messing up all of her lip syncing and dancing as if she doesn't care. Well, she doesn't, you know. And not only does she not care, she's trying to project out into the group mind how much of a farce this all really is. So you go, Brittany. I'm behind you 100%. Now, I know that she can't escape the controllers that have her right now. And this is the best thing that she could do, and just thwarting their plans, because she has become the new high priestess, and now she has been knocked down. And you'll see where they instill the mind pattern programming within MySpace and probably AOL as well. I remember AOL doing such things, although I haven't touched them in some time, where you will see the jokes about Brittany or Lindsay or any of them that they want to traumatize. So they instill these patterns into us, and through us they get to feel it. And it also shows them how powerful they are. Shows Brittany and Lindsay just how powerful the Illuminati are. So go, Brittany. I think you're doing a hell of a job. I'm behind you 100%. Just to divert away from that just a little bit, I really wanted to call into the Drudge Report last night and give my side of the story for Brittany, but I couldn't get through. And then I did get through on Coast to Coast last night, but they cut me off before I even got to state anything, and I was pretty much going to tell the same story I just told you now. I like to phone in there from time to time because it doesn't seem like they're ever going to invite me on as a guest. I think they're afraid of me. I see somebody off in the control room when it was Raleigh. What's her name? Raleigh announces, now we got Freeman from Austin, and I can just see somebody in the control room giving the old neck cut signal. You know, no, cut that guy off. Don't let him on here. I don't know. Maybe I'm paranoid. These are fun games, thought games that I like to have. Now, once you start to recognize that your innocent programming has totally been thwarted by propaganda and has trained you into thought patterns that are destructive, sex being the primary tool they use to divert you from your spiritual path, which you had as a child, as you were had none of these programs running into your hardware, and there was no such atrocities going on in your life. You know, you didn't see these things; they didn't exist. Now, me myself, I grew up so that I could do the things that I wanted to do as a child. So when I get in my car and I drive, I enjoy it because, well, you know, I always wanted to grow up and drive around in a car. And I still play Spaceman when I'm driving, you know. I like to keep my youth. I like to keep my childlike play. And I like the fact that now I can play without people telling me I can't. So that is my pattern programming on the positive side. You know, I am a child at large. So what can you do? Where do we go from here? All right. Well, first of all, recognizing the danger that we're in is not negative programming. Recognizing that we are in peril is not negative programming. It's all positive. These things open pathways for your pattern to evolve so that you're not stuck in the grind. Now, personally, if I thought that I was going to have to work a 9-to-5 job till I dropped dead of old age, I would not want to be existing. But I don't believe that, and therefore I don't do that, and it is not necessary within my life. And life guides me forward to the next thing I need, and God, or the universe, or God mind, whatever you want to call it, always provides for me. And I am always amazed and grateful. And this is another critical point, being grateful for the things that you have. I think I may have mentioned the Frixa Grease incident last radio show. Honestly, I was a little out of it last radio show, so I don't know how well that one came out. And I don't remember what I said. But yeah, the Frixa Grease example is that I received a bottle of olive oil from Frixa Grease, which is supposed to be the best olive oil in the world, and I just used it for everything. And then last week, Frixa burnt to the ground. So no more Frixa Grease olive oil. And so now I hold the rest of my Frixa Grease olive oil in high reverence, which I wish I would have done to begin with. So as we hold each of these things in reverence, each bite of food that you put into your mouth, each drink, each everything is held into a higher vibration of reverence. Because, well, we sure are going to miss them in the future. I already miss the flavor of an orange. Because, well, the crap that we get today just doesn't even compare with the fruit of my youth. So I already miss many things. And the things that I do have, I hold in high reverence because, well, I see where we're going. So now, this is not a victim mentality. This is not to say that I am subservient to the Illuminati and that I am going to just sit back idly and let them destroy the world. But at the same time, this does not mean that I'm going to spend my whole life yelling and screaming and reading news reports to find out how they are doing their nefarious deeds. I already know. I don't need to continue adding that into my programming. Now that I know, now I'm free. You see? Because now I understand that this is all one big stage show, an act of prestidigitation that has been occurring for thousands of years. I no longer need to be a part of it. And so I am free to work on myself. Now, what would you do if you had all the time in the world? What would you do if you didn't have to get up and go to work every day? How would you fill your time? On occasions, I'll even feel guilt. Guilt for being free. How amazing is that? And that's just that mind pattern programming that was instilled in me by our culture. Now, nobody in the world works as hard as the Americans, and, well, if you haven't caught on, quality is quickly declining. It's a matter of getting out the cheapest piece of crap you can as fast as you can in order to create money. And of course, money's not going to help anything when the world is crumbling around you. I work very hard at not feeling guilt at having the liberty that I have. But it does come into my programming, and when it does, then I analyze it, I explore it, and then I release it. Because there is no need for me to feel guilty about not participating in the destruction of planet Earth. Now, we don't need this guilt. We don't need the victim mentality. It can be erased. It does take time. You will consistently and continually finding yourself back into these programs, and then you address them, think them through, feel them, and experience, because experience is really what we're all here for. So the more that you experience, the happier your soul will be. And just consider this, that when you're on your deathbed, the only thing that's going to matter to you are your memories, so make them good. Explore life. Don't just follow the program that's being set out in front of you. You can be free from this, and the universe needs us. Now, we have been pitted against a very nefarious and evil foe. Or at least they're evil from our perspective. And what we will continue to call the reptilian line, because whether or not they actually shapeshift into reptiles, this is what they represent irregardless. They are reptilian mind. Ritualistic, domineering, unchanging. And these reptiles have been placed within to our consciousness, into our manifest reality for us to deal with, so that we can build ourselves up to a higher paradigm, so that we can start to feel our place as humans in the life structure of the universe, so that we as humans don't need to be subservient to these reptilian bastards. But only once we believe that, once we believe we don't need a George Bush, once we believe that we don't need an Abraham Lincoln, once we believe that we are masters of our own universe, then we will be. But they don't want you thinking those thoughts, so they're going to continue to instill fear and the need of them. Now, once you analyze society or civilization and recognize that it's only destroying everything, it should be easier and easier to let that go. So rumor has it, and yes, this is rumor, but it comes from Ken Welsh, kenwelsh.com, that there will be a gas attack here in the next few days. Now, I expect, which I probably shouldn't, because then we all manifest, but, you know, they're programming that into us. Expect the next terrorist attack. Expect the next terrorist attack. But I do expect the next terrorist attack. I really don't think that the W is going to just vanish without a shitstorm. I still don't believe there is going to be another American election. And I still state that Ron Paul is just too good to be believed. So it is very likely that there could be a gas attack in America in the next month. And at this point, we should recognize now the stage performance of this. Now, yes, these guys do kill people. They killed thousands of people in the World Trade Center just to get their point across and to instill that fear and that mind program into the group mind. Yes, that will be atrocities. But it's our reaction that counts. So, if such a thing were to occur, would you go screaming in the streets for bloody sacrifice? Are you wishing for vengeance and vindication of these actions? And can you see that such things will only make things worse? Say that you are against drugs, and you don't want drugs in the system. You want drugs to be removed from everywhere and everything. So you start a business of selling drug testing for parents to test their children. Well, consider what this does to the child. Now, all of a sudden, this child knows that their parents don't trust him. And therefore, they have nothing to lose by being untrustworthy. So the very act of trying to remove the drugs from the system causes more criminality. Because all of a sudden, these children have nothing to lose. Their own parents don't trust them. So why should they care? So this is the type of reversal that can occur from vengeance or vindication. I personally have never been screaming to have W hung from the rafters, nor any of the Illuminati, really. I actually thank them for the lessons that they are giving me, and also for making me want to be a better human. I am eager for this challenge. I am enjoying stepping on their toes, and I enjoy what I do, or I wouldn't be doing it. So this is not something that, you know, when 9/11 occurred and everybody went rushing to sign up for the military, oh God, you poor souls, these reactions are dangerous. And so I promote a non-reaction. Because, well, it's just not going to do any good, and it plays right into their hands. And if these stage magicians continue doing their acts of prestidigitation, then not having a reaction from the audience tends to slow the magician down. So when these things do occur, let's not go running screamy bloody into the streets, but inform others of how this is all just a stage performance. And then turn inward and start to release yourself from the mental programming, the mind pattern programming, that is keeping us in this victim mentality. And start to become the emperor of your own world. And this is the path to freedom. Not any legislation, not any regulation, not more fear, but freedom within, which becomes freedom without. So until next week, it's been a great pleasure having you all with me. I am so glad you're out there and listening. And as always, I love you all, and I will see you out there in the ether. Good night.